Okay, this week's parasha begins. Vayomer Hashem Moshe Emer al Hakohenim b'nei Aaron v'amarat aleihem. Rashi explains the lashon amira, the double lashon Emer v'amarat lahazeh gedolim al haktanim, that the gedolim have to warn about the ketanim. They have to be careful, mechanach the children, to do what has to be done, or not to do what shouldn't be done. In Torah Ladas, Moshe Sternbuch explains that this lesson that we're learning over here, it teaches it to us both with the Lashon Amira. There's the Amira to the Gedolim, and there's the Amira to the Ketanim. It uses that Lashon Amira twice. What it wants to teach you is that there has to be different Amiras. It's not the same Amira. There's one Amira to the Gedolim, how they have to act. There's one Amira to the Ketanim, how they have to act. You have to be very careful when you're teaching people and you're telling people Musa and you're training people. It has to be done in a way, each person according to what they can handle, what they need. Some people is doing it in a soft way. Some people's fine brimstone. Some people's with a moshel. Everybody has to be spoken to in a different way. So that's why it says the Lashon Amira twice, that the Amiras have to be different. But what's fascinating over here is that it's teaching us a mitzvah of chinuch. And the mitzvah of chinuch is taught to us dafka by kohuna. Why would it be that the Torah wants to teach us chinuch, and chinuch is negated to all of Klal Yisrael, and the lesson is taught by kohanim? So Rav Baruch Sorotsky used to say over from his father, the Lutzker Rav. But I'll explain you first with a little mashal. There was a lady in Lakewood. She was standing in line. I may have mentioned this to you once before already. She was standing in line, and she sees in front of her was an African-American lady. And the African-American as a child is screaming he wants a candy bar. And the mother says to this African-American, says to her child, "You can't have that candy bar. It's not kosher." So the Jewish woman standing behind is watching, wondering. She doesn't look Jewish. So she turns and she says, "Excuse me, are you Jewish?" She says, "No." She says, "Why are you telling the child it's not kosher?" She says, "Well, I saw another lady doing it, and it worked." So what do we see in this? We see that it's very easy to mechanech children. A little child understands already it's not kosher, you can't eat it. Yesterday, it's a little girl in Chicago. Her name is Esti Weisswasser. She's 5 years old. She went to play with her friend yesterday, and as five-year-olds do, they had a nice game they came up with. They were playing hairdressers, and each one cut the other one's hair. So after they finished their job, the mother walked in, and she wasn't so impressed with the results. I'm putting it mildly, she was a little unhappy about it, perturbed. And the mother of the visiting child, this Esti Weisswasser, called to pick up her child. And she told the mother, Esti Weisswasser's mother, "You know, make sure you tell your child you can't do such a thing." And she gave her, "I gave a musadrush to my child already." So the mother came home, and she sat her child down. She said to her, "You know, what you did today was very wrong. And this is a maisa shaya yesterday." And the little child went, "I know. I forgot it was Sfira." It's unbelievable that a child of that age can understand you don't cut hair in Sfira. But it's true. We can ingrain, unbelievable, we can ingrain our children. If it's taught correctly, it happens. So to teach chinuch, to say we have mechanech our children, Torah didn't have to tell us, that's poshut, we'll do that. It's an easy job. The Torah is teaching it where it's difficult. For a kohen to be mechanech his children, that's very hard. Why? Because the kohen is going to have to tell his children, there's a game of baseball, you can't go and play over there. Why? Because there's Thomas Mace there. And the child will say, "But the Rav's son is there, the Rosh Yeshiva's son is there." "Yeah, but we're different. We're not like them." "What do you mean?" "Well, they're better than us. There's the Rav's son." But we have to train them to do something which everybody else is doing and they can't do. That's a much harder job of chinuch to do. There's a dafka over here where it's the hardest chinuch. Here the Torah says a special warning how you have to do it to train chinuch. But for regular Yisrael, once you see a kohen doing it, it's definitely easy for Yisrael to do it. I'd like to talk a little bit about the end of the parasha, where it talks about Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelis, Vuhu ben Ish Mitzri, Vaseich ben Yisrael, Vayenotzu b'machne. Ben Yisraelis, Vaisha Yisraeli. There was a fight between this ben Mitzri, a ben Ish Mitzri, and the ben Ish Mitzri then, he cursed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Das Kanim says over here that how could it happen that a Yid could do such a thing? This Ben Ish Mitzri, he was a Yid, how could he curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So Das Kanim explains, that's why the Pasuk mentions it was a Ben Ish Mitzri. Who Goram Loi Shebarach Hashem? It was genetically, this is what caused him to curse. Because Shedarukun Shal Mitzriim Levazi says Hashem, it's the way of Mitzriim to belittle, degrade HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the Pasuk says, Paris said, Lo Yedati is Hashem. So it was in his genetic makeup. Not only that, the next pasuk continues and tells us also who his mother was. V'shem imoy, Shloimis bas Divrei. And genetically he had problems from his mother too. And Rashi tells us, who was this Shloimis bas Divrei? So Rashi says, Shloimis bas Divrei, she was the only Zoyna in Klal Yisrael. It says her name, she was the only one. Shvach of Klal Yisrael. Shloimis dava pitpita. She used to yak. Shalom aloch, shalom aloch. Shloim is lashon of greeting. She would greet everybody, give shalom to everybody. She would hang out in places and greet all the men. Bas divri, dabronis oisa. Or speaking, medaberisim kolodom. So it's degrading the mother also and blaming her to a certain degree also. But the question is, why are we calling her a zayna, this woman? Because she had a maisa that happened once. But you look at that maisa that happened to her, she was an oinus. In Parsha Shemoisa tells us that Vayarish Mitzri Makesh Ivri Be'achov, Moshe saw an Ish Mitzri and he killed him. And Rashi tells us who this Ish Mitzri was. Rashi says he was beating this man, and this was the husband of Shloimis Bas Divrei from the star of our Parsha. The Nosen Einav Bo, he wanted her. He called him out at night, called the husband out, then he pretended he was the husband, went back, and then he had a relationship with this woman, with the Shloimis Bas Divrei, and this is who this Ben Ish Mitzri, and that's how he came into being, this Ben Ish Mitzri. So she was an oinus. She thought it was a husband. She didn't know it was a Mitzri. So why are we blaming her for it? And the answer is very simple. We're blaming her because, you're right, she was 100% an oinus over here. She had no idea that it was an Ish Mitzri. But why did the Mitzri pick her? Of all the people in Klal Yisrael, punked her. Pshat is, because he knew her already. He'd seen her. He'd bumped into her before. She was schmoozing with everybody, and she'd schmooze with him as well. So because of that, she was an oinus right now, but she caused that oinus to happen. And that's not an excuse. We blame her. She's called a zoyna because of this act, even though in the end it was an oinus, but she brought the oinus on herself. And this is something so negair to us in life, that a person doesn't get up for shacharis. And you ask him, what happened? It was impossible. I went to bed at 3. I couldn't wake up. I was an oinus. Yeah, but why did you go to bed at 3? That wasn't an oinus. So we put ourselves in a batzav, and then we say we're an oinus. A person couldn't daven with a minion. There was no minion available. But what were you doing in that place? There was no minion available. Who said you had to go there with no minion? It's an oinus. Is only an excuse if we didn't cause that oinus to happen. That is the lesson we have to take from here. Now, the pasuk at the beginning of this week's parasha tells us, "Ubask ish koin ki seichel liznois." And one of the farshim explain that normally when a person does an avera, you don't begin with nuts with a terrible avera. It goes gradually. First, the person does this chet. You know, first it's with a cell phone, and then it's online, and then it's 7-Eleven, and eventually averas happen. But it doesn't happen. A person doesn't just land up with big averas. But over here, this girl, this Bas Ishkoin, Kiseichel Liznois. She began with nus right away. How could it be? The pasuk continues, Esaviyahi Machaleles. You have to know where it came from. It came from the father, we say genetically. We blame the father for it as well. However, I must point out to you, there's halach in Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Chav Ches that says there that a kohen who has a daughter who is a zoyna, he loses certain rights of kohanim. And the Mishmura comments in Sivkat and Kufnun Dalad there, that din, that a person loses rights because his daughter's a zayna, doesn't apply nowadays. And what's the pshat? Why not? Because nowadays, it's not the father did something wrong, it's society overall is so difficult, you can't control your children. And the Chavetz Chaim was writing this a while ago, 70 years ago, 80 years ago, he's writing that. Imagine today what he would say. That is before we had the devices which hook everybody up with each other today. And he was saying it's impossible to control. There was a Yid who once came to the Ger Rebbe, and he said to him, he was crying because he's had difficulty with his children. And he said, he was brokenhearted, what he'd do wrong. And he said to the Rebbe, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Obviously, I'm at fault. And the Rebbe said to him, yes, it's true, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. But that's in normal times, normal circumstances. But what happens when there's a big wind? Then the apple can fall far from the tree. And he said, today, in today's day, there's a big wind. And there was a big wind, it can happen, such a thing. Today, in case you didn't notice, it's very difficult to raise kids correctly. The Pasuk says, also earlier on we forgot to mention, Lo yikrachu korcha baroshim, a kohen should make bald spots, Lo yistu srotah, should cut himself, kadosh miyu lelekov. What the Pasuk is saying, says Rav Shmuel Leib Diskin, is that in certain religions, the religious leaders need to show their kadoshim. How do they show their kadoshim? By doing actions that make them look special, look different. They'll cut themselves. They'll make bald spots. They'll do things to show how holy they are. Why? Because be'etzem, there's no kedusha there. So they need to do things chitzonius, outside things, to show their holiness. By Klal Yisrael, it's not like that. A Gadol B'Yisrael lives exactly the same life as every other Yid. He eats the same, does everything. Lo yikruchu karchem b'roshom. Lo yistus radis. Don't have to do any wild things. What do you have to do kadosh for you? Your whole life has to be kedusha. Then every action you do, everything, you lift a finger, you walk, you talk, you eat, you can see the person's a kaddish. And if any of you have ever been close and seen gadolim up close, you even want to spoil by them. When you see a gadol in his pajamas, you even then see gadolus. There's a story, just crossed my mind now, I forgot about this story, of those a Yid from Cleveland, I think his name was Levitansky, who was traveling over here to New York. And he was in the airport, and he was on his way to Simcha, so he had his shoes shined. And it was after 9/11, and the person who shined his shoes asked him, what do you have to say about it? So he said, no, I don't have anything to say. So he says, if Rabbi Feinstein would have been here, he would have had what to say. He says he used to be in the East Side, and he had what to say. He could tell. He had things to say about what's happening in the world and give his opinion. And this person, Rav Levitansky, was nispol. Imagine this shoe shiner. What is he? He's a shoe shiner. And what did he see? Rav Moshe's feet. He shined his shoes, and he could see who Rav Moshe was. Just from shining his shoes, he understood the godless of Rav Moshe. That is a godl. And that's why we say in davening, Befi Yeshorim, in the mouths of Yeshorim, tis halal. Kshbroch is praised. Divrei tzadikim tisparach. With the words of tzadikim, bilshoin chasidim, with the tongue of chasidim. And then we get to kadoshim, it doesn't mention the mouth. Not befi, not bedivrei, not loshen. What does it say? Bekerev kadoshim. By a kodesh, he doesn't have to say anything. The Rebbeinu Shlom is automatically praised by seeing a godel. You see the godless Saboiri, you see that is the greatest Kiddush Hashem, without just the way he talks, the way he walks, every action he does, just being Bekerev Kedoshim is Tishadol. But just like a person can be Oved Hashem in mundane actions, there's such a thing as being Oved Hashem without an action. In 1951, Reb Shlomo Lawrence, who was just Nifta recently, he was an MK for like 50 years, member of Knesset, he was somebody who was close with all the Gedolim. He wrote an unbelievable book, Machitzasam, close with Chaznish, the Priskarov. So he was sick in hospital. And he sent a psak to Rav Shlomo Lawrence and Yom Kippur, that he shouldn't fast in 1951. And then later on in the day, he came to Rabbi Shlomo Lawrence. So he told Rabbi Shlomo Lawrence, why did you come to tell me? I would have listened to you. Chazon Yosef said, I knew you would listen to me, not fast, because I told you. But I came to tell you that when you eat on Yom Kippur, you have to eat besimcha. Don't feel tsar because you're eating. Because just like fasting is Ratzon Hashem, eating, when you eat, you mekayim Ratzon Hashem, doing a mitzvah. You should feel good about it. Like a person eats Yom Kippur, feels this guilt, this choking on the food. Just don't feel that way. It's mamash a mitzvah. There's a Moridika story, I don't know if I ever told you. The Rebbe Elimelech and the Rebbe Zisha were once put in jail. And Rabbi Zisha was very upset. So Rabbi Elimelech says to him, what are you upset about? Rabbi Yishlom wants us here, so we're besimch about that too. Rabbi Zisha said, I'm not upset because we're in jail. He says, so why are you upset? He says, I'm upset because there's a latrine over here, a toilet. So we can't daven. How am I going to daven? That's what I'm upset about. Rabbi Elimelech looks at him and says, you're upset about that? Just like we're mekayim Ratzon Hashem by davening, we're mekayim Ratzon Hashem by not davening. So Rabbi Zisha, you're so excited. You're right. And he started dancing. So Rabbi Elimelech started dancing with him. And they're dancing around this toilet there. And they're so excited. And they're pointing at this toilet. They're so excited. And then the other goyim dance with them. The goyim there in the jail. And they're all pointing at the toilet and dancing. So the guard comes in and says, what are you so excited about? So they're pointing at the toilet over here. We're so excited. We have this over here. So he says, one second. You're happy about this? Nah, that's not for us. He goes and he removes it. You're not going to have this in here then. And he takes it out. You're not going to have it if you enjoy it so much. And he took it out the room. We have to understand that if you can do Ratzon Hashem by not doing a mitzvah, Alachas kam v'kam rabbi Yisai, you're eating, you're drinking. You've got to learn from the care of Kadosh Nisal, every move you make. You can do Ratzon Hashem as long as you have the right kavanah. Have a good Shabbos. Shabbos. Thank you.